on the floor. Now my jewelry box froze. Fuck up bowl, fuck up stove. Counted millions in a cold. Bad bitch, booted swole. Got her on bankroll. Can't fold. Just a no. Headshot, case closed.
What is up, guys? It's Andy Priscilla, and this is the show for the realists. Say goodbye to the lies, the fakeness, and delusions of modern society. And welcome to motherfucking reality, guys. Today we have Q and AF. That's where you submit the Qs, and we give you the AFs. Now, you can submit your questions a few different ways. The first way is...
Guys, you can email those questions in to askandy@andyfrisella.com.
Or you can go on YouTube in the comments section on the Q&AF episodes, and you can ask your question right there in the comments, and we'll pick some from there as well. As we move through the week, you're going to see different formats of shows. We're going to have Q&AF, which is right now, and then we're going to have CTI, which is Cruise the Internet. That's where we put up topics on the screen. We talk about what's going on. We speculate on what's true, what's not true. And then we talk about how we, the people, have to solve some of these problems going on in society. Other times, you're going to get real talk. Real talk is just 5 to 20 minutes of me giving you some real talk. And then we have 75 hard verses. And 75 hard verses is where somebody who has completed the 75 hard program comes on the show, talks about how they were before, how they are now. We talk about how you can do the same that they've done using the 75 hard program and get your shit together. If you're not familiar with the 75 hard program, it is the initial phase of the Live Hard program, which is available for free at episode 208. It is the world's largest mental toughness program ever, and it's free. There is a book about this. It's called The Book on Mental Toughness. You can go to my website, andyfrisella.com, and you can get the book. It's not required. The program is for free at episode 208 on audio feed only. But if you want to know the ins and outs and the ups and downs and everything in between, The Book on Mental Toughness is a great book. It covers the entire Live Hard program plus 10 chapters on mental toughness, why it's important, how to build it, and what it'll do for you. And then some case studies on some very famous people and how they've used it to become the recognizable names that you know. So with all that being said, we have this thing called the fee. We're going to say pay the fee. What that means is support the show. All right. We don't run ads on the show. We don't run ads for the show. We do not take money from companies and have them tell me what I can and can't say and will and won't do. I pay for this show out of my pocket. And I do that so that I can keep it real and not have to deal with any bullshit. So in exchange for that, not spending 30 minutes of your day talking about a bunch of stuff I don't use, I just ask very simply that you share the show. We're constantly battling censorship and traffic bans and shadow bans and throttles and all these things, especially when we talk about what's going on in the world on CTI. And if you think the message is important, we need you to share the show. It doesn't get out without you guys. So don't be a hoe.
Share the show.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up, dude?
What's going on, my man?
Oh, not much.
Yeah.
What's up with you?
Oh, you know, nothing much. Another just beautiful Monday here.
Yeah.
Making people better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was anything new going on with you?
Nope.
Yeah. Are you ready for the summer?
I think so.
For some sun and some heat?
Yeah, I'm pretty... Listen, here in the Midwest, dude, like, we get the gray. The gray is what bothers me. It's not
months of it.
Yeah, it's not the cold. It's not the weather. It's the gray. Mm-hmm. And it's nice that we're moving into the springtime months. You know, there's been a couple days where I've been able to get the Lincoln out and kind of cruise with the top down and get some sun on my face, and that feels good.
I'm ready for the shirtless cardio session.
Yeah, me too, bro. I love that. That's my favorite part, especially when you come with me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm kind of tired of looking like powder over here.
Yeah.
I got to get my tan going.
It got a little light.
Yeah.
Got a little light.
I know, bro. I can feel it. I feel see-through. So.
Well, I mean, it could be worse. It could be like my diet.
Yeah, I think it's affecting my swag.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely affecting the credit score. Let's get into it, man. I got some good ones for you.
All right.
Let's dive into this. Guys, Andy, question number one. Andy, I have recently made the decision to switch my mindset from trying 75 hard to doing 75 hard. This decision and change of mindset has made me has made an unbelievable impact on my life in a very short amount of time. I am a 25-year-old business owner in my fourth year of business and recently discovered through this change in mindset that I have been operating the last 3 years without a clear understanding of my purpose. Thanks to you and 75 Hard, I was able to search my soul and find this purpose. I finally find myself operating towards something bigger than monetary gain, but I'm having trouble setting a long-term goal that aligns with my purpose. My question is, how do I come up with long-term goals that align with purpose? How do you do that?
Well, look, it's impossible to be driven. It's impossible to be motivated and feel good about what you're doing if you don't have a purpose. You know, we have all these people talking about how burned out they are all the time, right? And really, it's not burnout. It's the fact that they don't really understand why they are doing what it is that they do. And if I were to tell you, hey, come over here and just start hammering nails in the wall and just do that until I tell you to stop, after an hour, you're going to be like, this is fucking terrible. But if I were to tell you, hey, we're going to put all these nails in the wall because it's going to be part of this bigger project that we're working on, you would start to feel a purpose around why you're doing what you do. And so having people clearly define their purpose is a big deal when it comes to feeling good about the work that you're doing and moving forward with speed, with momentum, with vigor, with enthusiasm, which is what creates the best work. So it's super important that people, you know, figure out what the fuck that is. Because if you don't, most people don't. They live their whole life in this really miserable existence where they don't feel good about what they do. They don't really understand why they're doing it. It feels torturous because there's no real outcome to why they're doing what they do. And most people never just take a minute to stop and say, hey, this is why I'm doing this. And so I would highly encourage that for anybody at any age, at any point in time in their life, if they want to feel enthusiastic and happy about what the work that they do. And also if they want to produce the best work. Now, how do you figure out what your long-term goals are? You know, most people think about their long-term outcome and then they build their purpose around that. You know what I'm saying? So it sounds like this guy's doing it a little backwards.
Okay.
But everybody I know that builds big stuff and does great things and is happy in their life and fulfilled and excited, they have a long term outcome in their mind. And then they break it down into small steps in order to get to that, that long term outcome. So you have this big vision of what it is you're trying to create. You break it down into step by step by step by step, working it backwards from years in the future to where you are now. And then you start executing that, those steps. This is pretty much second nature to anybody who's doing anything or has done anything. This is how it works. And so I'm not real sure what he's asking when he's saying, I found my purpose. Now I got to figure out my outcome, because typically it's the other way around. So what I would do is I would spend some time sitting down, thinking about where it is you want to be, what kind of life you want to live, what do you want your life to look like, get very detailed about it. Paint the picture in your mind over and over and over again through visualization every single day, and then make practical action steps that will create that in the future over the course of the next 5, 10, 15 years that you're going to break down into basically steps. And then you're going to take those steps and you're going to break them down into, you know, what are my daily tasks that I need to do to move towards this goal? And that's where a tool like the Power List really comes into play. If you're unfamiliar with the Power List, you go to audio episode number 16 and it will explain the Power List system. It's a free system. You don't have to buy anything. There is a journal of it on my website, but it's not required. You can use a notebook. And it just explains how we do exactly what this person is asking. So we break it down into critical tasks that we execute every single day that compound over time and end up creating the outcome that we're looking for. But if you don't know where you're going, it won't work. So you have to decide where it is you're trying to go from the beginning before you really start to break it down into a plan to get there. I mean, like, dude, if you don't know where you're going and you're going to get in your car and you think you're just going to find your way there, how would that happen? Mm. It wouldn't. It would be impossible. So we have to decide where we're going, what's it going to look like, and I would encourage you to develop that vision without limitation. If you could be anything, if you could build anything, whatever it would, whatever your mind could come up with, think of that in the biggest, coolest, best, most favorable outcome terms. Because what happens usually when people think about what it is they're trying to create, they're in a place in the beginning where they don't have that much confidence and they don't have that much belief in themselves because they've never really built anything. And then when they set out to try and build the vision of what they want to build, they end up saying, oh, I'd really like to do this thing, right? But like, I don't think I could do that. That's not really within my capability.
Right.
And so they shrink the vision down to this like small vision, and they're failing to understand how long life is and how much progress you can make in a relatively short amount of time, 5-10 years. And so, you know, and it's impossible to know that when you're 24 years old or 25, yeah. Right? You don't really understand how quick things can happen, because on a daily level, a weekly level, a monthly level, progress feels slow. But if you're dedicated day in and day out and you're executing critical tasks day in and day out, the amount of time in years is relatively fast. So, you know, people underestimate the amount of work that they can do in like 5 years, right? And they overestimate the amount of work they can do in 6 months, which puts them in this like unfavorable mindset, which is just not accurate with how things really work. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage people to sit down, create the ideal outcome. What would that look like? What would it look like if all of your dreams came true? What would it look like if you took that company that you're working on, or that position that you're working in, or that company you're working for? What would it look like if it was like ideal? Like if you could walk in there and say, holy shit, this is the coolest thing ever. What's that vision? And work from there. Because if you go after that vision, the chances are the outcome's going to be very favorable to what you're trying to do. Because likely you're going to fall a little bit short. That's just the way goals are. Mm-hmm. Most people don't ever actually achieve their big goals. They just get pretty close. Pretty close is still fucking amazing, right?
Yeah.
So that's my take on that. You know, get clear on your purpose. Get clear on what you're trying to do on the outcome. Break it down into small actionable steps on a daily basis and execute. And, yeah. And eventually that'll come to fruition.
I love this. Let me ask you this, because I feel like, you know, especially for younger people, man, like just in general purpose, I feel like it's either one or two things. Like it's people either like overdrive it, right? Or they severely under diminish its value, right? And I've heard you mention before, you know, that purpose evolves, right? And so can we just touch on that a little bit, especially for somebody that's 25 years old? It's like, you know, the purpose that you may have now, maybe a real purpose right now, bro, in 10 years, it might change.
Yeah. Well, typically when people first get started, their purposes are more selfish, and that's not a bad thing. That's okay. Right. You're having trouble paying your rent. You live in a place you don't want to live. You're driving a car you don't want to drive. You don't have the lifestyle that you want to have. And so typically most people will start with that level of purpose. I want to take care of myself. I want to get myself to this place. And they will focus on that. That's okay. All right. Because what happens is once you start to take care of those things, you start to realize that the purpose is bigger than yourself. And you start to understand that this is actually not about me now. This is about other people around me. And so the purpose generally shifts from in the beginning of the success journey, whether you're an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur, or whatever it is you're trying to do, there's selfish reasons. I want to live a better life. I want my life to look like this. I want to do these things. And then as you achieve those things, you go through this like process where, you know, you start to realize, well, I got all these things now. Now what? And people will typically go one of two directions at that point in time. They will either say, I have everything and I'm bored and I'm miserable and I'm depressed because I did all the stuff I wanted to do. And then they do not reevaluate the next step, which causes them to go backwards, and it causes them to lose the progress they have made, become miserable, become anxious, become depressed, and, you know, sometimes just quit. All right. Yeah. This is why we see so many people who get a little bit of success and then they fall off and they disappear. Or they pick another path, and that other path is they evolve their purpose. They say, okay, I've got my bills paid. I'm able to eat okay. What about all the people around me? What about this? What about that? And they start asking bigger questions. And those bigger questions lead to a bigger purpose that typically is outside of self. All right. It becomes selfless. And this is why I tell people you have to be selfish to become selfless. All right. You can't just say I'm this selfless guy from the beginning and you can't even feed your own self. You can't take care of your own rent. You can't take care of your own family. That's not realistic.
Yeah.
But once you get that taken care of and you're comfortable, it's time to reevaluate what it is you're trying to do, what your purpose is. And typically the biggest success stories in the world, they evolve from, you know, at the very beginning, you know, I'm taking care of me. And then they go and say, okay, well, I need a bigger purpose. I need a bigger mission. I need a bigger project to work on. And then that project becomes so big that their purpose becomes big, which drives them forward and it helps everybody around them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. And it's also like too, like it's like that dog and hunger that you have trying, you know, while you're in that selfish stage.
Yeah.
It carries right over.
If the vision's big enough. Yeah. When you recalibrate and you move into the bigger purpose, if that's big enough, you're going to actually be hungrier.
Yeah.
Because who are you more willing to fight for? Yourself or the person to the left and the person to the right of you. Yeah. All right. Most people will fight for the people around them way harder than they will fight for themselves. So it's very important to get to that point and then reevaluate and not just fall off and think it's about you. I mean, we see this all the time. If you pay attention to people, you see this on the internet all the time. People who will, you know, they'll become successful. They'll get some success financially. You know, their lifestyle will go up. And then all of a sudden, you don't really hear from them anymore. Where'd they go? Oh, and then you find out 2 years later, they fell off and they got addicted to drugs and they just kind of went and ruined their lives. Well, that's because those people didn't take that next step. They refused to understand that it's not just about them and they didn't expand their vision. And when you expand that vision to start including all the people that have helped you get where you're going, now you're going to war for a completely different reason, which is much easier to go harder at. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, most people will fight much harder for the people around them than they will for themselves.
Yeah. I think it's important too, man. Just like last little thing on this is like, you know, people will hear you say that like, okay, you know, you got to be selfish in the beginning. Well, Andy, I mean, you're saying be selfish, but like, how is that a good thing? Right. But it's like, when you think about the amount of impact that is generated, the amount of progress is made from that actions of being selfish.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Well, it's real simple. You have to get your body right. You have to get your mind right. You have to get your life right. You have to get your income right. You've got to get yourself right because yourself is the biggest fucking tool that you have to create this vision that you're trying to create. So when you're getting that tool right, there's all these people that are going to want you to go do this and they're going to want you to go do that and they're going to want you to deviate from the plan. That's where the selfishness comes in. You say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm worried about this, right?
Yeah.
Then when you've built that and you've got some progress there and you have some momentum there, you're able to now take that tool and expand the vision and make it selfless. And that's how that works.
Yeah. I love that, man. I love it. Question number two. Guys, Andy, question number two. Andy. Hi, Andy. I've been working as an individual contributor in a senior role within the HR function at my company for 2 years. I report to the director of my department, who reports to our VP, who then reports to the company's chief HR officer. This year, the chief HR officer is meeting one-on-one with everyone within the HR department to check in and discuss successes and opportunities within the HR area in which we work. My meeting's coming up in April. As an entrepreneur, how can I add the most value to this meeting? I feel so far removed from the C-level, and I'm struggling to find the best way to engage with somebody at the executive level. I want to make a good impression. I enjoy working at my company, and I aspire to grow my career here for many years to come. What advice do you have to best prepare?
There's a couple steps here. One, become highly skilled at what it is your role is and execute and produce the proper result at the best level, better than everybody else in your company. Okay, when you're the best, the truth of the matter is you get preference.
People know.
That's reality. Okay. Like, you don't get preference when you're third. You don't get preference when you're sixth. You get preference when you're number one. You get trust when you're number one. You get respect when you're number one. That's the reality. So if you're running your job at a mediocre level, don't expect anybody to put their hand out and try to help you along because they're going to assume you're not bought in anyway.
Right.
Okay. So you have to handle business first of your own responsibilities. The second step there is to start anticipating needs, all right? If you want to move up, then you need to start anticipating problems that the people that you're working for have and solving those problems before they're even problems, okay? There's nothing more valuable than someone in an organization walking in and be like, hey, just so you know, I found this and this and this. Oh, and by the way, I already fixed this and this and this. These are done. That's super valuable, all right? We talk in this... you know, frequently about what the most valuable skills are as an entrepreneur, and it's sales, leadership, and then the ability to take initiative to take projects or problems and solve them without anybody above you having to put their hands on it. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge key to moving forward. You know, when you want to move forward in a career, it's not just do your job at a mediocre level. That's not reality. You'll never win that way. That's the standard of what most people think. Most people think if they show up, they put in their time, they execute at a mediocre level, that eventually time will pass and they will become a winner. That's not reality. You have to fucking be the best at what you do. You have to do it very well. And then you have to do other work on top of that to create value for the people who are in the control of your path so that they say, fuck, dude, DJ's on top of it. He saw this and this and this. He always sees these things. He handles these things. I don't have to babysit him. I don't have to, you know, remind him. I don't have to tell him that he has to be great at his shit. And when the conversation comes up behind closed doors, well, hey, we need another person here. We need another person there. We have an opportunity. Who's going to get it? DJ is going to get it because he's already been proving that he can handle it. So there's a vast difference between what people expect will move their career forward and what actually will move their career forward. And like I said, just showing up every single day and checking a box is, dude, you're committing career suicide through 1,000 paper cuts. You're just going to rot.
Yeah.
And that's the reality in any organization. You have to become undeniable in your ability to contribute to where when the conversation comes up for the opportunities, your name's at the top of that list. And that can only come by you being great at what you do and then also learning how to anticipate the needs of the people that you're working with, solving those problems, and making it known that you solve those problems. That's a thing too. So a lot of people will do this initiative. They'll take on problems. They'll solve the problems, but they won't even let anybody know that they found these problems and they fixed them. And if nobody knows, then you don't get any kind of recognition for it. So you've got to come up with a tactful way to communicate that. You have to walk into your leadership and you have to say, hey, just so you know, I want to let you know, I found this, this, and this. And by the way, I saw this and this and this. This is what I did. And I just want to keep you in the loop. And then you walk the fuck out. Yeah. And you know what I say? Fuck, dude, that guy's got his shit together, right?
Yeah.
He's worth more money. He deserves an opportunity. We don't want to lose that guy. Those right. are the conversations on the back end that employers have about their employees. And, you know, it's very real. Like every single employee in the world wants their best people to be closest to them so we can move the needle forward. And a lot of people think it's about time put in or it's about, you know, how many years you have because they listen to their parents who worked in the old world or honestly were just mediocre people. I'm sure they're great people. I'm sure you love them. I'm sure they love you. But I'm talking about a performance standard that's mediocre. Mm. And they say, well, fuck, dude, I put in 20 years over there and they didn't do shit. Well, yeah, because you didn't do shit during your 20 years. You showed up and you existed. Okay, so you have to work off this mentality of I have to be undeniably the best person in my role to where it's impossible to ignore. That's what undeniable means. Impossible to ignore. And when you're impossible to ignore, you're valuable, whether you're valuable here or there or anywhere else. If you can cultivate this mindset where you are that kind of contributor, you will get paid, you will win, and your career will progress. And anything less than that, you won't.
Yeah, I love that. Let me ask you this from the entrepreneur standpoint. You know, when you started, when your businesses started growing and you started, okay, now we have a leadership position that's in this place. And then now that leadership position, they have, you know, two teams and there's leadership inside of those teams, right? And the chain of command started growing. What were some things that like you made sure that you put in place to ensure like a good, healthy chain of command, a good relationship to where there was no like fear of like talking up or, you know, from employees that are on the.
Well, a lot of times,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a lot of times. Well, first of all, anybody who's going to, this is a great question, by the way. All right. So your ability to communicate to the leadership as an entrepreneur is a skill that you must have. All right. If you cannot have a direct conversation, if you cannot communicate to the people who are up the chain from you, you are way less valuable. You're not giving feedback. You're not giving us anything to work off of. And a lot of people, because they don't want to rock the boat, They will have concerns. They will have ideas. They will have issues. They will have solutions, but they won't bring them up. And because they don't bring them up, they don't get any value. And then they sit there and they fester and they get upset and they get bitter, and it's their own fault. Okay. So you have to understand your ability to communicate directly and clearly to your leadership is a valuable skill set in itself. So if you're sitting there in an organization, anybody's organization, and you're just like stewing, well, you're stewing because you lack the critical ability to have a conversation that should be had. All right. If you can't give feedback, you're not valuable. If you don't tell what the problems are, you're not valuable. If you don't bring solutions, you're not valuable. These are real things, and people don't do this because they don't want to quote unquote rock the boat. Well, that's a skill set that you have to have. How can someone be valuable? How can someone move up? How can someone get a bigger position and more pay and a better career inside an organization if they will not fucking communicate? You cannot do it, okay? Because as leadership, we're looking out on the horizon. And you know, let's just say we were in a battle and you're 5 miles over that way on the line and you're getting fucking killed.
That's a problem.
Okay? Yeah, right, you're getting fucking killed. Everybody's killing all your guys. You're getting shot. And you won't say shit because you don't want to be seen as a rock in the boat. Well, now not only are you not valuable, you're a fucking liability to the team. Because you're getting motherfuckers killed because you see a very obvious thing that needs to be solved and you're not doing anything about it. That is the opposite of the undeniable aspect that we're talking about. So communication is a huge deal. People have to develop it, and it's a necessary skill for you to move up in your career. And, you know, a lot of times in organizations, people will say, well, the leadership, they won't hear my feedback. Motherfucker, you don't bring it.
Right.
So they assume that you won't hear it. So then they make up this narrative in your head and they say, oh, you know, they won't listen to me. They won't this, that. They're
not approachable.
When in reality, they just didn't even fucking develop their own communication skill.
Right.
Okay. So, and these people go and they have this problem at one organization, the next one, the next one, the next one, the next one. They have it in their relationships. They have it in their friendships. And they can't recognize that it's a them problem, not everybody else problem. Most of the problems you have is a you problem. That's reality. So, yes, you want to foster a good environment for people to bring feedback, but they have to understand very clearly that there is a difference between actual constructive feedback that helps what's going on or gossip, drama, bullshit. And that's a huge skill as well. If you're one of these people that just brings every single ounce of bullshit to the leadership without handling it, Now you're even less valuable. So there's a nuance here. You have to know the difference between reality and real shit, and you have to know the difference between bullshit. And don't bring your leadership a bunch of bullshit that's gossipy and drama-y and this and that. Those things are your responsibility to handle, all right? The real problems go up the chain. And if you can delineate those two things and you can effectively communicate, you are far more valuable, especially if you can squash the shit that's stupid and handle the things that are actually real. And so this communication that so many people try to put on their leadership is actually an internal problem. And when you examine their lives, you will see that they have this problem in every single area of their life. Like I said, they have it with their relationship. They have it with their friendship. They've had it at previous jobs. And they're going to have it at next jobs. And unless you develop this skill set of, one, being able to tell the actual feedback, two, being able to solve the problems before you actually go to them with the problem, three, knowing the difference between bullshit and real shit, unless you're able to do that, you're not valuable, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're just a warm body holding space. So my advice to anybody out there that's sitting there and saying, you know, I don't know what's going on. Bro, are you doing all these things? Like, really? Are you? Or are you scared shitless to say anything and do anything? Because that's something you have to overcome to progress your career. There's no high-paying, high-value, amazing career out there where the person that's in it can't communicate. It just doesn't exist.
It's gonna happen.
And a lot of people have this problem now because of social media.
Yeah.
Right? They're not good with people. They're not good having conversations. They're timid. They're afraid.
We're talking in-person communication here, right?
Okay. And so, like, dude, people will say, well, you know, my leadership, they make it hard for me to get fit. No, they don't. They just don't want to be bothered with your bullshit.
Right.
They want to know that when you come in there, it's real shit. And so they, you know, we have to fucking understand that most of these problems start within us. It's not out there. It's us. And if your leadership doesn't appreciate real direct feedback, then probably you should go to somewhere where they do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But the likelihood of that is...
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of shitty organizations out there. It depends on if you're in the right one or not.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I almost think when you were saying that about, you know, like you see a problem on the front line and you're not saying nothing, it's like people forget, like, hey, listen, that problem, eventually the top chain of command, they're going to find out about the problem.
Yeah, and they're going to say, why didn't you do anything?
How the fuck did you miss that?
Yes, and then it makes you look bad.
It fucking makes your stock go way low.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a simple change of mind, man. It's a different way of looking at it.
Listen, dude. People have to understand, we have to learn that most of our problems come from within ourselves. And if we want to be valuable, we have to work on those problems and fix them and not project them onto other people. You know, when you've worked 7 jobs and you say, no, my leadership sucks, it's not the 7 jobs, bro. It's you.
There's a common denominator.
That's
here.
Right.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Guys, Andy, our third and final question, question number 3. Hey, Andy. Do you think there is a point?
Let me say this too, before we get into that. I think people don't understand how it is that they progress their career. Okay. No one's going to come and say, hey, you know, you've been here for 7 years and I really want your career to progress. That's not what's going to happen, dude. Okay. You're going to have to be, this is how it works in real life. You are so good. You are so undeniably good. You contribute so much. You solve so many problems. You are so skilled. You are performing at a high level that you can walk in the office and you can say, fucking pay me. Fucking pay me or I'm out. That's the fucking where that your goal as a fucking entrepreneur is to build so much leverage in yourself that you can walk in and you could say, hey, this is what I do. Here are my stats. This is what I've done. And you could show it all. Clear as day. I'm the best at what I do here. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. I would like this opportunity. And if I can't get this opportunity in a reasonable time frame, I'm probably going to progress my career somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against you guys. It's nothing. I love you guys, but I have to progress my career. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to walk out of the room and the people are going to say, all right, we got to find a spot for this guy. Mm-hmm. This guy's a fucking killer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The caveat being, you better make sure your shit's in line.
No, well, dude, people try to do that when they don't really have,
right.
They don't have leverage.
Right.
And then that's when companies look at people and they're like, okay. Yeah.
You need a box?
Right. Like, okay. Yeah. Like, okay. Like,
yeah.
You know? So it's your job is to become so great that nobody can ignore that. Nobody can deny it. It has to be actual data that shows that. You have to have intangibles, a feeling, a cultural contribution, being a leader, being skilled, being able to communicate, being able to take initiative, solve problems. These are all things that drive your stock up. And if your stock is really high, you're in the driver's seat of your life. And it doesn't matter what company you're with. If your stock is high and you're good at what you do, you can go anywhere and you can be successful. Then the game becomes, where do I want to play? What team do I want to play on? Do I want to play on, you know, do I want to play on the Bad News Bears that loses every single year?
Like the Broncos?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Do I want to play for the Broncos or do I want to play for, you know, the Patriots when they're winning Super Bowls?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, then you get a chance. Now you get to name your path. Mm-hmm. And that's what people don't do that work. They want to jump in on the good team and then they expect them to be pulled along. And that's just not reality. Average players don't go to the University of Alabama and get pulled along into greatness. They become great, then they go to the team, and then they have to work to compete against really great players as well. So your job is to make sure you're great. It's that simple.
I love it, man. I love it. Guys, Andy, our third and final question. Hey, Andy, do you think there is a point in living a high standard that can be taken too far when someone ostracizes themselves from reality? I have a buddy I speak to every day. He's got me into your show, and we're both currently doing 75 Hard. We were speaking about winners and losers, where he mentioned some other people we know when he claimed, quote, they're all losers. This guy, and this guy, they're just fucking losers. The thing that frustrates me about this is he and I know we each have a lot of work to do ourselves. So hearing him act like he's better than others was frustrating, and I was verbally disagreed with him. I took a second to think and definitively agree there is validity to what he's saying. However, one of the people he mentioned went to prison at a young age and turned into bodybuilding. Over the last 5 years, this gentleman has gotten into fantastic shape and continues to follow the good path versus the bad path, while still making errors along the way. I personally disagree that someone like this isn't a loser. He may just not be a winner in the same vision my friend and I have. Do you believe there is room for different types of winners, such as how there is an Andy Frisella inspiring millions of people through his brands and words, and then you have the Iron Cowboy literally running ultra marathons, inspiring people through his work? What would you say to someone that is going down the path of excellence that thinks anyone who isn't working towards absolute excellence or simply doesn't even know what absolute excellence is yet is a full-on loser? What's the dynamics here? This is an interesting question here.
Well, of course. I mean, we have to take into consideration where people start. You know, not everybody starts at the same place.
Yeah.
This is why you can't really judge people off the result they're producing without considering where they started. And the distance between where they started and where they are is actually what determines how well they're doing. So, of course, there's different people that are great. Mother Teresa, great, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Machine like, dunking baskets like Kobe.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Kobe Bryant, great.
right.
You know, Tom Brady, great. These are all different art forms of greatness. You know, Vincent Van Gogh, great. You know, any of these musicians, great. Like, they're not losers because they're not on the same path as this other person. And I think it's important for all of us to remember this. And we cannot judge people based upon our scale of what greatness means to us, because it means something different to everyone. You know, somebody might be a great fucking parent, which is extremely important, right?
Right.
Somebody might be a great entrepreneur, which is also extremely important and different. And while the entrepreneur may get more quote unquote credit, I would argue that the job of being a great parent is equally as important, if not more important, because it dictates future society. All right. So we have to look at all of these things. And I don't think it's a good idea or accurate to paint with a broad brush when it comes to winners and losers, because we're all playing a different game. We're all working on different things. We all started in different places. We all have natural strengths and natural weaknesses that are all different. And as long as someone's trying and as long as someone's doing the work and as long as someone's progressing, they're not a fucking loser.
Yeah.
So, you know, I used to be very judgmental about people, you know, but what I've come to realize is what I'm telling you, you know, there's a lot of greatness in different levels, but I will say this, there are also fucking losers. Okay. So maybe your friend.
Real losers do exist. Yeah.
You can't, there's a line here. You can't find the good or the, you know, you can't make, you can't polish a turd. All right. That's what you can't do. Mm-hmm. Like, some people just suck. Some people are losers. Some people are never going to be to their standard. And personally, dude, when I look at like success being the pursuit of the fulfillment of your ultimate potential, as long as someone's chasing that, that's a noble thing, because when you're pursuing success, dude, you've got to understand, you can never actually fulfill your potential. There is no end game, all right? If you start out on day one and you start pursuing what your potential is on day one, because you lack skills and lessons and understanding, your potential is X, okay? Let's just say that. Now, as you go down the path and you say, I'm going to get to my ultimate potential, and it's where it is on day one, as you go down the path, you're going to have hardships. You're going to have lessons. You're going to have things that happen that result in new skills. Those new skills will expand where your potential grows on the back end. So now your potential is not X, it's X plus 2, right?
Right.
Or X times 2. So that's why the pursuit is so noble, because you can never really achieve it. Because at the end of your life, if you've committed your entire life to becoming better and better and better and better, and you developed this massive amount of skill set, well, now you're out of time. So the potential of what you could be is never actually obtainable, even though it's ridiculously great. And that's where it comes in, you know, teaching other people, bringing other people along, teaching them what you've learned. But I believe that that pursuit is extremely noble because you can never achieve it. Like, and it results in tremendous good for you, tremendous good for people around you, tremendous good for society. And so when we think of like what success really is, we have to acknowledge that success in the ultimate form is actually unobtainable in the long run, because you're going to continue to expand your potential. The more skills, the more lessons, the more knowledge that you have, eventually time's just going to cut that off. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You're signing up for a never ending journey.
That's right. And that's the thing. That's why, like, when people say in entrepreneurship, I'm going to retire by 40. No, you're not.
I made it.
You're not. Yeah. Because if you do, you're going to be broke by 45. All right. The entrepreneurship, personal development, winning, this is an endless journey that lasts your whole life. It's a lifelong commitment. And too many people believe that there is a destination, right? And as corny as it sounds, it is about the journey. It's not about the destination. And as you go along the journey and you learn more and more and you make more mistakes and you meet new people and you do all these things and have new experiences, your ability to do more expands. And so, you know, we have to appreciate what it is that we're working on here. We're not working on a project that will ever actually be finished. Mm-hmm. We're working on something that is going to continue to improve, continue to get better, continue to produce results, not just for myself, but for other people. And that's the way the journey works.
Yeah. I love it. It's funny. I was thinking when you talk about, you know, some people just lose. Some people are just great at losing, you know, but I wanted to bring this up because I feel like, you know, anybody that's done 75 hard can attest to this too. Like there is a point in there where you do start looking around at people around you like, fuck man, like these people aren't doing it. They aren't getting it. Like there is I don't want to call it arrogance, but there's something there. Like, well, right. Like what is that?
That's called the truth.
Yeah.
You're noticing that you're trying very hard and you're noticing that people around you are not.
Yeah.
And it becomes very annoying because you're working your ass off and they aren't. And they're looking at you saying, what the fuck's wrong with you? No, right. What's wrong with you?
Right. Maybe that's what this guy's going through. Like that's where he's at.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you know, it brings awareness to the reality of the situation. And there are people in your life, in every single person that's listening to this life, who are losers. They don't try. They don't fucking do anything to get better. They just float through life. They don't contribute to anything. They don't build anything. They don't create anything. They're not trying to become anything. They're partying their life away. They're existing. And by the time they're 45, they look 60. And then they're like, well, this is just my life. This is what I got. No, bro, that's a cop out. You chose this. You chose all that shit. Your result of your life is your own doing. You were just unaware that the choices that you were making were actually going to have a negative outcome that now you think you are stuck with, right? So it's a lack of awareness along the journey. You know, the best thing you could do if you're 20 years old is to realize that it is, no matter what your friends say, no matter what the hippy dippy gurus say on the internet, no matter what the fucking spiritual guides say on the internet, the choices you make right now over the next 10, 15 years are going to drastically impact what your life looks like. And there's a lot of people out here telling people that that's not true. You got your whole 20s to fuck off. And you know what? Your 30s to fuck off. And you could start when you're 40. That's true. There's examples of that. You know, Henry Ford, Colonel Sanders. We could go on and on and on and on and on. Those are the anomalies. They are the exceptions to the rule. They are not the rule. The typical rule is if you fuck off between the ages of 20 to 35, your life's going to suck. That's the norm. All right. So if you're 20, 25 years old and you're sitting here and you're thinking like, fuck, dude, I could travel the world. And I could. Okay, you can. You could do a little bit of stuff. Enjoy your youth. I'm all about it, bro. I'm not saying be a slave to whatever it is you're doing, but you better take your life serious and you better make good choices, because the choices you make from 20 to 35 are going to dictate the entire rest of your life. They're going to dictate how happy you are, how much money you have, what kind of lifestyle you have, who your friends are. The quality of your life in general will be decided very strongly by the decisions made between that age range. And you know what? You can do certain things after that. You can definitely do it, but it's just harder to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I fucking love it. So, man. I love it. I love it, man. Well, guys, Andy, that was three.
All right, guys, let's go kick ass this week. Don't be a hoe.
Share the show.
Sleeping on the floor, now my jewelry box froze. Fuck a bowl, fuck a stove, counted millions in a cold. Bad bitch, booted swole, got her on bankroll. Can't fold, just a no, headshot, case closed.